Hello, listeners, and welcome to the first episode of Beneath the Reef, your number one informative ocean podcast. I'm your host, TJ, and to kick off our first ever show, I'm joined by Chloe Beckles, a media student at Coventry University with a passion to make the world a better place. So let's get into things. Tell me a bit about yourself, Chloe.
Hi, TJ. Thanks for inviting me here. As you said, I study media at Coventry, and in the future, I hope to become a camera operator for ocean documentaries. And since I was a kid, I've always loved the ocean. The more I learn, the more I want to explore it. And in the future, my dream would be to be diving underwater and filming all the corals and the fish, and maybe a few short films.
Very nice, Chloe. So tell me, what actually is the deep sea?
Well, TJ, there are a bunch of different levels to the ocean. Everyone knows about the sunlight zone, which us know is called the epipelagic zone, and this is where all the cute stuff is, and where all you see the sea turtles, the bright colourful fish.
So that's where you see the coral and all the photos. That's where it all is it? Yeah. I think that's my favourite area. It's so nice.
And really, think about it. That's only 200 metres below the surface. And after that, we have the twilight zone, or the mesopelagic zone, 200 to 1,000 metres below the surface, just beyond the reach of sunlight. Then the midnight zone, or the bathypelagic zone.
I cannot keep up with all these fancy words. I need a notepad or something.
And this goes down to about 4,000 metres, and the ocean floor is quite known in a lot of places, and it's known to be complete darkness, and us ourselves, we have no idea.
Is that someplace you'd like to explore? I know you said you like the bright corals and stuff like that, but is that someplace you'd like to go to in the future?
Personally, myself, I'm more of a sunlight kind of person. I like going like in that 200 meter kind of range for swimming and actually enjoying it. When going down there below that level,
there's more
because you're having to literally have a very special equipment. Submarines to go down that kind of level, because it's that dangerous and dark, just ourselves going down there.
Oh, that's crazy.
And anyway, we have the abyssal zone, or the abyssopelagic zone, which goes down to about 6,500 meters, and the hadal zone, which is about 11,000 meters.
Is that named after
named after the Greek god Hades, king of the underworld. The hadal zone is known for its extreme depth and pressure, the temperature that hovers just above freezing and total darkness.
How can the fish see? Are there like any living creatures down there, or is it just dead?
Well, there are some organisms, but not the classic fish-shaped ones. These creatures use something called bioluminescence to communicate.
That is cool.
And this is where they basically glow in patterns.
Oh, so, yeah, I want to do that. That is really cool. So they just basically pulse in different patterns.
I know, right? I love to explore it, but it's impossible to do unless you get with a company that has millions to spend on a big-ass submarine.
Well, maybe one day, Chloe, you might get there. Just keep on working. You'll find yourself in a company. So you clearly love the ocean and know your way around sea life. Something I'm curious to know is what you think about plastic straws being banned, but plastic cups still being a thing. What's your opinion on that? Because personally, I think it's ridiculous.
I know exactly what you mean, TJ. You could argue that it's symbolic, that it's meant to be an icon for how much damage we're doing to the environment. But in reality, I think it's just a bit silly. I mean, what people don't seem to understand is how small the percentage of the ocean waste that is actually plastic straws, considering the tiny, as in 0.0225%. It makes almost no difference compared to a massive oil rig in China that produces more carbon dioxide in an hour than I will in my entire lifetime. I mean, the average person produces about 50 litres of carbon dioxide per minute of physical exertion. So if you ran for 24 hours straight and you were out of breath the entire time, you would be releasing 72,000 litres of CO2.
See, that sounds like a lot. Like it sounds like that's a lot of impact we're having on the planet.
It sounds a lot until you realise the oil rigs in the North Sea alone released 20 million tonnes. And they were released in the last few years. And that's 566,000 33693184 litres, by the way.
That is absolutely crazy. That's a lot of litres. I don't think I can say that number. Okay, but seriously, that is absolutely insane. Not to mention the CO2 released from cutting down trees and logging to make the paper straws themselves. This spirals into so much more, because you can get into global warming and like ice caps melting, causing levels to rise. Matt, this is insane. But what I'm interested in is how we can change it. Can we even change it? I don't know if we can. Have we messed up our oceans to the point of no return? You're the expert here. Help me out.
Personally, myself, what we can change is the amount of emissions we're using, the amount of private jets that are being used, the amount of cars that require a lot of CO2. So there's a lot of different factors and elements which go into this. And probably us changing ourselves can be really good. Saying the going abroad, if we enjoy all that nice clean ocean, if we enjoy the ocean itself, and yet we're destroying our own oceans, it's not good. And so
that's so true, isn't it, Chloe? Because like the oceans in the UK are all like brown and have things floating in them, and they're just not nice.
But the thing is, we want to go away to a nice clean ocean, which is all out of the UK.
It's like the Croatian seas are the most like blue, crystal clear, pretty oceans in the world, aren't they? They're crazy.
So it's just, if we ourselves want that kind of feeling in the UK, we've got to make a change. The problem is that it's not, a lot of CO2 is done by private jets and emissions. You've got oil rigs, everything relies on carbon dioxide, and we release quite a lot of it. And it's just, with little things, so instead of just doing changing plastic straws to paper straws, like that's doing anything, we'd say we'd be more sustainable with our materials.
Also, like cut down gases, wasted,
and also having metal cups instead of, so being a lot more creative with what we use and using in a sustainable way that is positive for the ocean and ourselves. And so I just really think that doing that can really help the environment, and really help us change the way we go about things and how we use a lot of our products.
Oh, that's really interesting. It's like all of these billionaires flying around on their private jets every 5 seconds, you know? It's like we need to repair the damage and they're just adding loads to it. It's ridiculous. But yeah, thank you so much, Chloe. I think that's all the time we've got for today. Is there anything else you'd like to mention?
One thing I would say is that there is only like 95% of the ocean that's remained unexplored. And that is due because it requires submarines to go down that type of depth, because it's freezing cold, and our body temperatures ourselves cannot survive down there.
Okay, interesting. So you're saying there's so much more else out there that we can explore and we can actually look at. Interesting. Well, again, thank you for coming on, and thank you to all the listeners out there. Be sure to tune in next time to Beneath the Reef for more information and opinions from experts like Chloe Beckles. I've been your host, TJ, and I wish you all a great day. Till next time.